In the last 18 months, there have been significant developments in Circular 230, and I'm going to talk about both of them, and more important, not just the regulatory developments, the case law developments, but then try and bring the implications of those developments back down to a practice level, and then summarize what I think the status of Circular 230 is today for practitioners, whether they're lawyers or accountants, because I think that status has changed dramatically during the last 18 months. First, a little bit of background and history. I love history, so I'm going to do this anyway. It actually is relevant when we get to the cases, because when the courts tried to figure out validity of certain parts of Circular 230, they went all the way back to the beginning, and for good reason. In the aftermath of the Civil War, it's hard to believe that could be relevant this morning, but it was, there were claims galore against the government for money, for damages, for horses that were missing, there were some unscrupulous representatives of claimants, both before the War Department and the Treasury Department. So Congress in 1884 authorized the Department of the Treasury to regulate these representatives. And although it's, for me, an interesting piece of history, the statutory language enacted in 1884 is almost the same as the statutory language authorizing most of Circular 230, and that we'll talk about, I'll talk about a little bit later in this presentation, and that the courts found very important in trying to apply the language in determining validity of Circular 230.